You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, August 8th, episode 3750, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
That's right. We have a cool show planned for you today. Jamie's in heaven because Tick Maynard's going to be here. And he's going to talk about his new book, Starting in the Middle, and what he learned from his experience at Road to the Horse and the preparation for it. Jamie's also going to... Jamie's doing a lot of work today.
Exhausted already.
I'm just leaving. I'm going to just sit here. Jamie reviews the Veritas boots that she got and got the test out. And we have some really bad ads. And there'll be no post-show today because after this, Jamie's heading on vacation. So, since she's in a hurry to get out of here. But I have a Derby update. Now, keep in mind, we are recording this Thursday morning for Friday's show because Jamie's going to be on vacation tomorrow.
It's all about me today, baby.
Yes, that's right. So it's all her fault. So these are the results I have for the Mongol Derby as of Thursday. They're at about 400 kilometers out of the 1,000. And remember how when we covered it yesterday, we said that that leaderboard will change because things happen? Things happened yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Cammy Bidding, who was leading, she was the professional huntsman from the United States, was in lead yesterday. Well, she took a big vet penalty at one of the stops, because remember, every 25 miles they switch horses, but they vet the horses. And it's just like endurance racing. If the horses the heart rate doesn't drop in a certain amount of time and all of that, then they get a big penalty, and their penalties are time. So it can be an hour, 2 hours. So they're not allowed to leave with that new horse. They have to wait those hours while people pass them in the meantime, right? So that's what happened. She had a vet penalty. The horse didn't come down quick enough. So she has now dropped to eighth place from first. It doesn't take long. That's in a matter of a half a day. Sam Phelps, the Aussie cowboy, was overtaken by several other people yesterday. I don't know what happened to him. I tried to figure out what did happen to him. I don't know if it was a navigational error or he had a bad pony or what, but he dropped the sixth. Ann Bowden, that was the joint champion of the Gaucho Derby, dropped to fourth and appears to be riding with Michael Pollard. So Anna and Michael Pollard are riding together at this point. So they're in fourth and fifth. And taking the lead is Khalifa Al-Hamad of the UAE. He's a seasoned international endurance rider. Get this, having ridden in 3 world championships and over 100 100-mile races. So he's a very seasoned endurance rider.
That's legit.
Yeah. And then Dennis Alverson from the U.S. He's an accomplished outdoorsman, horseman, and former U.S. National Ski Jour champion. I wasn't expecting to say that today. And he's also a guide at horse packing trips in Yellowstone. He is in second place, and he's riding with Khalifa. They're now in the lead together. So that's where we stand today. By Monday, we're not back next week, but by Monday or Tuesday, they'll have a winner. So
they're doing so much more on social media this year and doing videos. I don't know if all of a sudden Mongolia got Wi-Fi, but it's pretty amazing.
What? Starlink.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they did. Mongolia got Starlink, so they are posting a ton of videos. So if you are interested, follow them. I was watching a video of a girl, and I didn't catch her name, but she was, like, freaking out because she couldn't find her compass. And she, couldn't find her compass, and she ended up going 3 stops without her compass. And finally, the third one, at the end of the day, she took off her helmet, and her compass was in her helmet.
Oh, my God. Did they show? There are quite a few getting bucked off at the start where they get on the ponies. There are quite a few that hit the dirt. I've seen some of those pictures, and they're always dramatic. I mean, you don't fall far. These ponies are like 13 hands, so they're tiny, tough ponies. So anyway, that's the update. Good luck to everybody and stay safe out there in Mongolia. Now it's time for some Daily Whinnies. And we do have some of these today. Now, I tried to look ahead, because we're off for next week. I tried to look ahead to get everybody for next week. So if I missed anybody, I apologize. But these
We'll catch you on the flip side.
Yeah. These are the birthdays that I have for the following week. Julie Stoltz, Shelley Billings, Clover Spelkin, Betty Faye. Hey, Betty Faye. Lisa Breeze and Megan Mitchell. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific week. And of course, I'll remind you that we do have brand new episodes for you that are recorded with Helena from Stable Scoop and Dr. Wendy and Samantha from The Weg Shows, the three original hosts that co-hosts that I had.
OG,
back.
Baby.
Yeah, that's OG time. You're going to find out what they're up to and we'll reminisce a little bit too. So they were fun to do. I enjoyed doing them and I think you'll enjoy listening to them.
All right, I Facebooked you a video, Glenn, because I have a name for the baby. The baby has a name.
Oh, did you pick this one or did somebody else pick this one?
I picked this one because Monty is current. I asked Monty to name him and he was taking too long because he's doing, you know, Monty, like being 90, he's still currently doing an entire week of Monty special training. I mean, why wouldn't he be? So I was like, I got to come up with a name. I can't just keep calling it baby because then I don't want to have a horse that's 14 I call baby. So I named him and I named him after my favorite cartoon character. And it's going to seem very strange, but I've been holding on to this name for a long time because as many horses as I've wanted to name this, it just is a Palomino's name. And then when I got him, I was like, oh my God, it's my Palomino. I can finally name him this particular name because it's my favorite cartoon character, Little Blonde. So do you have the audio?
I don't know if I can play it. Let's see.
I didn't give you the whole song. There's a whole song that goes along with it, but I only gave you the little tiny 6-second clip.
This hopefully won't get us in trouble.
Everyone knows it's Butters.
Well, that's me.
Butters!
I thought Cartman at first.
Butters is this sweet, innocent yes. angel, and I just love
for
him.
For South Park, so, for those that don't know.
Yeah, and so any episode with Butters in it, I watch because he's my favorite because he's so sweet, and I thought, what a perfect name for a Palomino, Butters, because it's a blonde. Like, it's so cute. So, yes, the new baby's name is officially
I love
Butters.
That name. Butters is my favorite. Everybody else is kind of annoying on that show, but Butters
oh, yeah.
isn't. Yeah. That's funny. That's a great name, actually. Good
Thank
job.
You.
Well
Thank
picked.
You. Play it again. I recorded this just for this moment.
I know. Every time I try and play it, it's muted.
Everyone knows it's Butters.
That's me. So Butters is the baby name. If you don't watch South Park, don't start. Like, don't start.
No. Well, we're 25 seasons in at this point, or 25 years of South Park.
And everything not involving Butters is horrible. But when he is, like, he watched the episode where he's, like, the last of the Mexicans, and his name is Mantequillo, which is butter in Spanish. That's my favorite. And Lucas and I watched it, and I was like, oh, okay, I forgot there's a lot of potty words. It's not appropriate for children. It is not a cartoon children can watch, but oh my God, it's Butters! So Butters is his name. I also have exciting
news. By the way, that is a great name. I watched South Park for the first maybe 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And it was always on the edge and politically incorrect in every way. But it got really gross and politically incorrect then. Yeah. At about year 13, I was like, okay, I can't do it anymore.
There's some really gross episodes. Like, there's episodes I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
I know.
But and in the beginning, that is so cute.
I don't think they were that bad in the beginning, or maybe I was just younger. I don't know.
Well, the Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo is like, I mean, I have a giant Christmas poo that we hang up at Christmas. Like, I love all things like that are sweet about South Park. I'm not a super...
And those kids have not aged one day in 30 years.
I know. I love it. It's fantastic.
All right. What were you going to say?
Fantastic. So the next thing is new farm girl moves in today, which is why we're not having a post show, because I have to run down to the barn and welcome her with open arms. Now, obviously, I think farm girl is a little weird. So I'm trying to come up with a name for her for the podcast. So if you guys have any suggestions, I did get a wonderful suggestion to keep in with the theme of Princess Bride to name her Buttercup. But I
now think you have Butters. That's going to be confusing.
I can't. Exactly. Yeah. There's Butters and Buttercup. And then if I just say Buttercup, it's not going to make sense to people that are just tuning in and don't understand. So I mean, it's farm girl until something better has come up, and Glenn thinks farm girl's creepy.
Well,
so.
And I did ask around a couple people that I know about that name and a couple of the listeners, and they all kind of agreed that you would expect to see her in a calendar of half-naked farm girls. So with that name.
Make sure I let her know that.
The farm girl calendar is what, you know, you're right. You were the one that first said it had a connotation. It kind of does, actually.
It does. Yeah. It does. So I need a new name and something that I can
barn
say
girl?
And people would. I mean, barn rat, like that seems like a kid.
Yeah, that's
you
a teenager.
Know?
A barn girl would work because that doesn't have the sexual connotation of farm girl.
Barn.
Or barn something.
Barn chick.
Barn chick.
I don't know.
We could use her
so
name, but we don't want to do that. That's like,
I don't like to use their names because then, what if something happened? I don't know. I don't want to be involved in that. So anyway, she's moving in today. I'm super excited. Another thing happened where baby Groot, you guys know that my makeover horse Groot, came
mounted
back to me.
Shooting extraordinaire.
Yes, my mounted shooting archery horse, like he's amazing. And, you know, he came back a couple months ago and I've been kind of rehabbing him and trying to get him fit. Well, I got a phone call from a local trainer and she was like, I'm looking for a horse for a 15-year-old girl. So they came over and rode him and he is way too much horse for her. But she is a great trainer and I think she'll learn a ton. So I said to them, I was like, listen, take him. Take him home, keep him for a month. Let me know if you like him. If you like him, great. If you don't, bring him back because I can't have this horse live with somebody for another year or so. And then he gets, you know, ignored. So he is now living with a 15-year-old girl. I delivered him yesterday and he's got a month. And again, I'm not expecting it to work out because he is a whole lot more. She's been riding lesson horses. But again, I think this is a horse that will really teach her to ride and he's very safe. So hopefully it works out. You know, I had a lot of people reach out to me about getting him as a lesson horse and stuff. And I just really have wanted to let him have his own person. And I mean, what horse doesn't deserve a 15-year-old girl? So, I mean, so fingers crossed it works out. Again, if it doesn't, he'll come back and it'll be fine. But just letting you guys know. And the reason I thought of mentioning that is because when they came over to try him, the trainer is, I mean, she's got to be pushing 70. And when she was over with her student, they were hanging out and talking and Chad arrived and he had just gotten home from a trip. So he's still wearing his airline pilot uniform. I mean, he doesn't wear the hat, but like he had the whole uniform on. So I take Groot over and I drop him off yesterday and bless her heart, this woman, again, she's like total horse chick, like the kind of salty trainer you think of when you think of a one who teaches a billion kids riding lessons. And she proceeded to talk about my husband in his uniform inappropriately for a good 20 minutes and mentioned that he should be on a calendar of airline pilots.
We got two calendars we have to do now.
I know. We got to do a farm girl and an airline pilot calendar. So, yeah. So I was a little uncomfortable. Maybe we do a horse husband calendar. You know, maybe.
I think we do a farm girl calendar and a horse husband calendar. But this is what I'm picturing for the farm girl calendar. Instead of, as you would picture, you know, girls in bikinis riding horses, bareback, I am picturing the farm girls as they actually look, covered in dirt and grime and haven't combed their hair in 3 days and, you know,
wearing pajama pants down to the bone with muck boots over them.
You know what? We'd sell more of those than we would the bikini ones anyway.
Okay, ladies, your assignment. Let's do this calendar for Christmas. All right, we need a farm husband calendar and a farm girl calendar. So send me your best photographs of yourself or your friends at the barn being real. I want real people and real pictures. And then if you have a attractive or whatever
What are we thinking for the horse husband calendars? Are they with the horses? That seems wrong almost.
I want whatever. I want all of it. I want like boopsy looking farm guys. And then I want my husband, who's Mr. Airline Pilot, trying not to get dirty when he gets home in his uniform. And he's like, don't lick me, Winks. I'm dressed in my uniform.
I will contact boopsy to get a picture.
Yes, we need it. Tell him congratulations. You have now made it into the
horse husband
Christmas thing. Calendar. And let's sell it all for Christmas and give it to charity. Yay!
All
let's
right,
do
look
it.
At this. Look at this. Now, this what are the chances we're going to follow through with this?
About 38%. But I want the pictures. I'll work on it. You know what? I'm good at delegating, and I'm sure we have listeners who will do it. So,
and it's not that hard to do now. There's a lot of calendar companies. You just provide the pictures. So it's not as hard to do as it used to be.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, then let's continue that. Let's keep it up. We need pictures. Okay, but they need to be good quality to be on the calendar, so they can't be like blurry.
Farm girl. I'm writing this down. Okay. We're writing so much down. We're like saving the world today. All right. All of the proceeds go to Horse and Hound. That's just how it's going to be.
Yep.
Farm guy and farm girl calendars. All right. Perfect. All right. I know a lot of people who could be the cover models for these things. So let's make it happen, y'all.
Well, let's hear about Kentucky Performance Products and then go to Tick Maynard, who's joining us today.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Well, Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Formulated using a synergistic blend of high-quality potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. Glenn, we need to put you on Airwise. It promotes normal respiratory rates, enhances lung function, supports a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintains immune health. To see if your Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet and visit kppusa.com. I am so pleased to welcome Tick Maynard to the show. Tick is the author of In the Middle Art of the Horseman, which I think everybody has read at this point. And he's got a new book, and it's called Starting in the Middle. Tick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jamie. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Well, I just absolutely love the first book, so I was so excited to get the second. Now, in full transparency here, I actually have only read to the middle of the book, so I thought that was appropriate. Spoiler alert, I kind of know what happens at the end because you're a baller. But I got to tell you this one thing. Okay, so I was reading Monty Roberts' book forever ago, and The Man Who Listens to Horses, right? And I'm reading it, and everybody is like, man, this Monty Roberts is amazing. He's amazing. And I'm like, no. Monty's amazing. Yeah, that's fine. But Pat Roberts, his wife, is the amazingest person in this whole book. And after reading yours, I'm like, oh my God, you married the right person. Like, she's ridiculously amazing. And
that is
you're so
true.
Lucky.
Yeah, sometimes she's a little tough on me, but in a way that's helpful in the big picture, you know? Like she's the person that tells me the truth and pushes me, and I'm very lucky to have her.
Oh my gosh, I'm reading it and I was like, it's like when I was reading Monty's book and I'm reading yours, I'm like, if that was my husband, I'd kill him. And she's like, totally takes everything you're doing, gives you a thoughtful answer, but like gives you more realistic approach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. No, she grounds me and she finds that balance between being supportive and being realistic for sure.
Yeah. So I want to know too, like when I was reading this, and this is going back, you know, a couple years, how do you remember all of this stuff? Or do you have to talk about, like, how do you remember to write a book years later?
So you're talking about this book that just came out starting in the middle. So right from the moment that I got invited, right from that very first day.
And we're talking about Road to the Horse here. We haven't mentioned what the book's about.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Yes. I figure everybody's read it already. Yes, Tick competed in Road to the Horse. Hey, let me back up. I was just so excited because Starting in the Middle is about your journey to Road to the Horse, which for those who don't know, Tick has been very successful at for a couple years. So this book starts with you getting kind of the big idea of doing it. So take it from there. Sorry.
Absolutely. So I got, you know, I've watched it for a long time since 2012. I've watched it pretty much every year on DVD or live streaming. And then in 2003, in the summer of 2003, I got invited to compete in March of 2023, got invited to compete in March of 2024. So I had about 9 months to prepare. And right from the day that I got the phone call, the invitation to compete, I decided I was going to take notes on it. And, you know, if I was going to do it and if I was going to prepare and if I was going to compete, I was going to take all those notes and make them into a book. So all the notes I took were like in real time that day, you know, at that moment or that evening. And after 2024, I gave myself 1 year to take all the notes, create a book out of them, and with the goal of launching the book at Road to the Horse 2025.
Oh man. So you were thinking way ahead. I love it. So tell everybody kind of a little, I mean, I don't want to spoil the book. So just kind of tell everybody an overview of the book and why they need to read it.
Well, basically, you know, there was a big question for me when I was invited of whether I should compete or not. Because there's a lot of reasons why somebody might not compete. You know, there's the ethical considerations of should cold starting be a competition? Should it be a timed event? There's the fears of training a horse in real time in front of a crowd, you know, especially in this day and age where people can video, you know, every single thing that you're doing. And then there's also the actual fears I had about
it. And take that video out of context, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And take the video out of context. Yep. And then there's the actual, you know, fears of competing. Like, am I going to get bucked off? Am I going to even be able to catch the horse at the beginning? You know, what happens if the saddle slips under the belly and the horse starts kicking? Like, there's so many moments in a competition like that that could go really badly that, you know, at their least worst, they're embarrassing. And at the worst, you know, you or the horse could get seriously hurt or even killed. I mean, people get killed doing horses every day, much less starting horses, which is a dangerous event. And so I thought to myself when I was invited, how could I show as much respect as possible for the competition, for myself, for the fans, and most of all, show as much respect possible for the horse? And what I decided to do was to put basically everything I had into preparing for it. I thought that was my way to show the respect, to be as well prepared as possible, to focus on, you know, the process more than the outcome. And that's what I did. And that's what the book is about. It's about all the preparation that I did. I went to Argentina to work with horses. I trained with some legends in the United States. And one of the most interesting things I did was I went to Seattle and I trained chickens for 4 days in a chicken camp.
Okay. That's not typical Road to the Horse preparation.
You're probably the only one that ever did that. That's for sure. Is that how you overcame the ethical side? This has been a thing. You know, we were very involved with Road to the Horse years ago, and this ethical thing has always been there, right? And is that how you overcame it?
Yeah, the main way I overcame it, I guess, was first of all in discussions with my wife and the team around me. You know, I had Jake Bierbaum and Nick Rivera and Juliet, you know, helping me prepare and having discussions about our game plan, sort of our, and what we did is we came up with a list of 10 principles, and we said in all of the preparation and in the actual competing and how we interact with each other and the crowd and the horses and the competition itself, we're going to follow these 10 principles. And what inspired me was some of the principles that other people have come up with, like Andrew McLean, Warwick Schiller, Pat Pirelli. You know, there's been different horsemen throughout history that have said, these are the principles we're going to follow. And I thought for this competition, it deserves, for me, my own sort of principles that I'm going to follow. And, you know, they were varied principles, but not one of the principles was I'm going to win. And I think where you get into trouble is where you place the outcome above the process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you are a great example for horse people everywhere, because I love the kind of more thoughtful way that you take to train, but also, gosh, what a great example for your kids to set up a goal and follow through with it, and to have the whole family involved like you did. It was just absolutely awesome.
Yeah. And when I talk about the fears that I had, certainly one fear that, you know, dads probably face, and I've got two kids, a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, is, you know, am I setting the example for my kids that I want them to follow? And if I let fear stop me from doing something that I truly want to do, is that the example that I want to set?
You know, it's interesting too. I think that by you competing and by a couple of the other people that I'm thinking of off the top that I won't mention competing, that's how you change. That's also how you change things, right? You show a way that it can be done, which a lot of those trainers do correctly, and some have not over the years. But you show the way that it can be done, and then that pays off. You know what I mean? You can tell that are in it to win it. Let me put it that way. You can tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I look around at some of the people that most inspire me, and I see, you know, when I think about David O'Connor in the horse world, when I think about Shireen Ebadi, who's a Nobel Peace Prize winner from Iran, when I think about people in politics, you know, the people that most inspire me are not the people that see a broken system and try to ban it or outlaw it or get rid of it. It's the people that see a broken system and they think this is worth fixing and saving, and it's not going to change overnight, but I'm gonna try to take something and improve it just a little bit, you know, leave it a little bit better than I found it.
Well, you did that. And you know, one of the other things too, that's all judge competition, and it's not judged by the audience. You have 8,000 people watching you who don't miss a thing. They know what they're watching and they don't miss anything. But the judges, I was concerned as the English riders started to get in there, I was concerned that the judges would be biased, but they have shown that they're not, right? Over the last several years, I think they were very fair. And obviously you won. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, I'm, you know, it's since 2003, you know, so it's been going on over 20 years now. I'm only the second, what I would call non-Western rider to do it. Vicky Wilson from New Zealand was the first. Yep. She's done it 4 times now and won
did very
it
well.
Twice. Yeah, she's won it twice. The first 2 years that she did it, she won. And I've done it twice and won it. And next year, they're going to have their third English rider. They've already announced that. Alyssa Wallace, who's a 3-day event.
She was on the show Monday. We were talking about you. She said you've been having conversations with her. She's also probably as nervous as you were when you first started the journey.
That's what I was going to ask is, how early out did you start getting nervous? Like, I would be nervous the second I was named.
Yeah, I was nervous the second I was named. I was nervous for 9 months. I had probably trouble eating or sleeping. You know, I thought about it every day for 9 months. I did something to prepare every day, whether it was watching a DVD or reading a book or having a phone call. Or, you know, there were lots of nights where I'd fall asleep or have trouble falling asleep. And in my mind, I'd be visualizing, you know, starting a horse. And I've started a lot less horses than most of the other competitors. But in my mind, you know, I'll be visualizing as I fall asleep some of the things. And I think maybe in a way that makes up for it, you know, just the amount of thought that I had going into it.
So knowing that Elise is going to do it, and I know you've spoken with her, but what is some of the advice that you've given her?
You know, I haven't really given her any advice yet. You know, we'll probably have dinner soon here and we'll talk some more about that. I think at this point, she's just got to let it sort of seep in and come up with a game plan. You know, my very specific game plan, you know, which I would recommend to other people, is that when I had 9 months to prepare, the first 8 months, my goal was to put myself out of my comfort zone as much as possible, to learn as many new things as possible from as many people that I trusted and respected as possible, to learn their way of doing things. And then the last month, leading up to the actual competition, I didn't want to have any lessons or any other voices in my head. I wanted to take that month and incorporate everybody else's things that I liked, incorporate that into sort of my authentic way of working with a horse, and be able to go into the competition not thinking, you know, what would this trainer do or that person do, but really feel like it was all me going into that arena.
Well, I think in the middle are the horsemen too, describes and displays a lot of your preparation for just your career in horses. And I mean, you've traveled the world. I mean, you were a pentathlon competitor. You've traveled the world studying horses in the first book. I mean, you've been to other countries, and I feel like you're probably the top horseman when it comes to figuring out how to make something happen by using and utilizing the best preparation. So what would you say if Alisa was like, what was the best preparation you had for this competition? What would you tell
please
her?
Tell him, please tell her it was the chickens. Please tell her.
I mean, I learned a ton from the chickens, you know, and when you're in the chicken camp, it's sort of like training chickens to do dog agility type stuff, like up and down an A-frame, through a tunnel, over a teeter totter, pole bending, stand on this, but not that. But really a lot of it is about, learning theory. You know, you're learning how animals learn, and you're learning about timing, and you're learning about things like rate of reinforcement, you know, so, which means how often are you letting that animal know they're going in the right direction? And, you know, while training a chicken doesn't directly relate to training a horse, a lot of the theoretical stuff is the same. You know, I think I tried to find a nice balance between working with starting horses, in a pretty, what you might call, think of traditional way or natural horsemanship way or vaquero way, while also, not shying away from learning really out of the box things and then sort of combining all of those things together.
Yeah. So you and Sinead go out and you do clinics. Talk about what people can experience at one of the clinics.
Yeah. Sinead and I are teaching a lot of clinics together these days. And also we're still teaching some clinics. You know, one of us will stay home with the kids and the other one will travel and teach. We're teaching a lot of sort of, you know, what you think of as basic eventing stuff, dressage, show jumping, and cross country riding. And then I'm also doing a lot of, you know, what people call groundwork or horse psychology or natural horsemanship, and teaching people how to read their horses better and how to work with their horses from the ground. And what I love most is not when I come to a place and I'm able to solve everybody's problems immediately, but when somebody comes to a clinic and they have something I haven't maybe seen before, and it's sort of a puzzle that we have to figure out together. And maybe I go home the night of the clinic and I have to visualize it in my mind and think of how we're going to solve it. And I think, you know, when I think about the horsemen that I most admire, which I'm trying to turn into that person myself, is they have a balance of experience and then also out of the box or creative thinking to solve new things that they've never seen before.
And who is that?
You know, when I think about people like Jonathan Field, Monty Roberts, Pat Pirelli, a lot of people that have done Road to the Horse, Christo Scarpati, you know, when I see people that are able to encounter something new and find a new way of dealing with it, it's just so inspiring.
And that's what I love too, is like you've learned from all these people and you've taken pieces and you've kind of shaped it into what you're most comfortable with, but it always has the horse at the center of it. And I think that's kind of the most important thing. Plus, I mean, God love you, you wore a helmet. Like, come on. That's just the brightest example that you can show for people that maybe like it's important to have a helmet on.
Yeah, I mean, I still am not about to go out and tell anybody in the Western world that I think they should wear a helmet. I mean, I'm not trying to tell really anybody else what to do. No. I'm trying to do what's best for me. And if I can inspire other people to maybe think a little bit differently, then that's great. You know, I certainly feel like I'm on I certainly feel a lot more like a student than a teacher in my day-to-day life with horses. You know, I'm still taking a lot of clinics and taking a lot of lessons. You know, I probably take a lesson almost every week, and we host a lot of clinics here with other clinicians. And, you know, I'm certainly not trying to tell other people what to do, but if somebody maybe thinks a little bit differently about things, then that's great too.
I know. That's what's appreciative about what you do is you're not shoving anything in anybody's face. You're just leading by example, and you're going to have to take compliments, Tick, whether you like it or not. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Listen, where could be, I think it's copperlineequestrian.com. If people want to meet you and get involved and do one of your clinics, and then you guys are going on tour. Are we going to see you in the next Road to the Horse? Are you doing it again?
Not next year. You know, it's by invitation only, and they always try to get new faces in there. So I think it'll be a few years before they invite me back. I don't know if you guys remember. I'm trying to think, Glenn, if somebody co-hosted this with you, but I think you guys might have had Dr. Jack. Is it Dr. Jack Brainard or Jack Brainard and Chris Cox?
Yeah, there was a year we did that. That's right. Yep.
That's right. And Monty Roberts as well. I think you had those three on.
Yep.
And, you know, that must have been 10 years ago or more, I'm guessing.
That's right.
And, you know, I went back and listened to that, both to learn more about Chris Cox's preparation and approach to Road to the Horse, to listen to Monty Roberts. And also there's an award at Road to the Horse named after Jack Brainard. And I want to, you know, he's passed away now, and I want to hear his thoughts on it. So I so appreciate what you guys do and allowing me to go back and listen to their voices from years ago.
Chris Cox was one that impressed me. Watching him, yeah, watching him really impressed me. You know, it's interesting because you're sitting there in the stands and you're there for 3 days, right? So you're there the whole time watching every minute of everything that goes on. And it is very fascinating watching three or four rings at once. As a viewer of it, it's fascinating to watch because you're seeing it all happen in real time, and you're seeing really four different methods, right? They're similar, you know, in ways, but the people's demeanor and the very calm trainers like you, the ones who you see are calm around the horses, and then the ones that get a little agitated, you see those too, but they stand out when you see the very calm one right beside it. If they were all done separately, you wouldn't notice it as much as you do when you see all the rings together.
Absolutely. And I've been so impressed by Chris Cox over the years as well. You know, I've went back and watched some of his years on DVD. And one of my favorite things about him is you know, in all 4 years that he has done it, you'll see him in the first half an hour often have a very different approach. He's not going in and saying, you know, I'm going to do this thing and this thing. He's going in and he's reading the horse and he's adjusting to what each individual horse needs.
Wilson was the same way when, you know, from New Zealand. She was terrific in the very beginning of those sessions. You know, and then, you know, she actually did body work on the horses. That was the first person that ever did that during training. But, you know, I was impressed by her too, with her just demeanor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was lucky enough to meet her this past year, and she's amazing. And she's got a great, you know, family and support system around her. And it was fantastic. You know, everybody that I got to meet, you know, all the other competitors both years, there wasn't one single person that was not friendly and kind and welcoming. You know, especially the first year when I felt like a bit of an outsider in the Western world, in the cold starting world, everybody was so nice.
Well, okay. The books are In the Middle Are the Horsemen, and then this one is Starting in the Middle, which I just think is a fantastic title for where you are and what you did and what you accomplished. And we're so excited for you. And congratulations on the book. It's Trafalgar Square. Where can people get all the Trafalgar Square books now? Because they're kind of moving around.
You know, the first place I'd recommend is to check your local bookstore or tack shop and see if they have it, or maybe they'll even order it. The second place is directly from the publisher, which I think is TrafalgarBooks.com. And then obviously for a lot of people, the go-to is Amazon. And, you know, it's probably my third choice, but, you know, I do order stuff on Amazon myself sometimes. So if that's your easiest way to get it, then go for it.
And we'll put a link to all of that in the show notes too. So thanks, Tick. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Sinead, we said hi, and that I think she's amazing, and she deserves a super award for, I mean, putting up with you, like, for real.
I will tell her that as soon as I get off of the phone. Yeah, I'm going to go outside, ride to the horse, and she'll be out there, and I'll tell her right now.
Okay.
All right. As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can add up quickly, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you the financial peace of mind that you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care. It is subject to credit approval, and to learn more and apply, go to carecredit.com/vetmed. carecredit.com/vetmed. And now it's time for our product review. This time, Jamie's doing the product review, and these are provided by State Line Tack at statelinetack.com, and we thank them for that. And you got quite the these are not inexpensive products to review, but you were a good one to review it because you were doing some cross-country and things, and tell everybody what you got.
Yeah, so I got the Veritas Carbon Gel Vento Open Front Boots, along with the Veritas Carbon Gel Vento Ankle Boots. I don't usually get to review products, so hang with me here, but I will tell you that these are the bougiest boots I've ever owned. Oh my gosh.
Can you kind of explain what each is used for too? So for new people.
Open front boots are used for show jumping. There's two reasons to have the open front boots. First of all, in the open front boots and show jumping, if you hit the jump and you knock it down, then you get penalties. So they've started making the open front boots where the horse rubs it, they're going to be a little more careful next time.
They feel it. And whereas if the boot was the whole way around, they wouldn't feel it in the front.
And they just crash through it. I always thought too, it also removes a little bit from the front, so there's gives you a little space too. But I might be making that up. But so the open front boots on the front. And now, Glenn, you'll love this. They didn't have the ones that you told me I had to get. And the reason I tested these is because we offered them up to listeners, but nobody was doing any jumping anytime soon. So I went to this show jumping clinic and oh, poor me. They didn't have any of the regular ones you sent me. So I had to get the fleece lined. Oh my God. First of all, I'm being the vegetarian. I'm not huge into like fleece anything. It's fake fleece. Do you know what the fleece is called? And these Veritas boots, it's called Save the Sheep. It's the new Techno
Really?
Soft sheepskin, and it's synthetic fleece, no animal derivatives whatsoever. Yeah. So I love having the fleece on those open front boots. And typically you would put the fleece on something that might potentially rub. So I was like, oh, I'm going to have to get off halfway through my ride and like, you know, adjust them and pull them up and strap them down again.
Yeah, these open front boots, if they're not made correctly, they tend to slide down and they end up hitting them in the back of the hoof, actually.
Yeah.
So.
And then they also gave me the ankle boots, which are not open front. They're just ankle boots. And I actually prefer ankle boots for show jump and cross country because they just don't inhibit any motion and on that huge engine that the horses have, you know. So I've always used ankle boots behind. And these are carbon fiber on the inside. So the strike plates, you know, you use these boots. So if their right front hits their left front, you know, their splint bone is protected and it's carbon fiber. Okay. So I've got these really
super
fancy.
Super light then, huh?
They're so light. So I've got these carbon fiber front boots that are fleece lined and then the back ankle boots. And I mean, holding all four, it feels like I'm holding, you know, a cup of coffee. Like it's so light. So I put them on and then I've got them and I put them on and then they have these little like kind of rubber snaps that go around. And I was like, this can't be right. Like it was just like too easy. Like we've all had those open front snaps where it's like it requires like a degree in science to put it on. Yeah. These were just like little rubber stretches that just went boop, boop. I mean, on like that. And they came off that fast too. Boop, boop. You just pop it and it just comes off.
But they stayed on while riding.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, there's no chance that these things stay in place. Glenn, if you recall, I rode for 2 hours in that show jump lesson and they did not move. They didn't shift one bit. It looks like they were made from, it's like if you spend a lot of money on something, they're actually really nice. Like so nice. They were so nice and they didn't move. They were easy to put on. They're fleece on the inside, which is so nice because that's a little bit more breathable than having like boots that are neoprene, but you want to have protective boots on when they're show jumping, especially when they're green like Aces and these legs everywhere. So they didn't move at all. Plus, I got a lot of compliments on them. So it's pretty nice. It's like if Tony Stark invented a open front boot and an ankle boot, that is what they look like. They're so cool. So I really, really liked them. And I just thought there's no way they're going to stay up and hold up. And even, do you remember the video I posted of Ace like eating it over the jump?
Yes. You almost eating it over the jump.
Yeah. I was skipping over that part. The boots aren't even scratched. And I, for the cross country, I took the open front boots off and I put my front boots on for cross country, but I left the ankle boots on for the back. And they're not even scratched. Nothing is scratched. They're so tough and they're so lovely. And so
These are the ones that are kind of vented too. They have holes for airflow so that the legs don't get so hot. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. And that's what they're called, the Vento open front boots. Yeah. But the fleece in the front, it's no extra money. I don't think they're more expensive, the fleece ones. They're just really, really nice. And I've just loved how they didn't move at all. Even my usual boots, anything that I would use, because I don't usually buy super expensive stuff because I just break it. I've always had to get off and readjust the boots, especially on a 2-hour ride. And these things didn't move. Like I said, that's like they were molded for my horse. It was amazing. And there's three little holes you can put them in, like 1, 2, 3. They helped me size it. And they were the perfect middle size, like boop, right in the middle. The second hole, the second hole, the second on every single one of them. And none of them moved. They did not get scratched. They're so
I was
bougie.
Wondering about that because usually these are made with Velcro and you can obviously adjust Velcro where if it's a little hook enclosure like this is, I was wondering about that.
Yeah. I was kind of nervous about the hook enclosure, but if you think about it, like Velcro, it always slides because it gets dirt in it. And these things too, like when I took them off, obviously he was drenched in sweat and the fleece, I just kind of combed it out and the non-fleece fleece and it looks brand new. Like it was so easy to clean, hosed it off, kind of combed it a little bit. Poof, it poofed right up. So
Did you get the black or the brown? It seems to come in two colors.
I got black because Ace's little bottoms of his legs are black. So I thought it would be kind of cute to match. But yeah, I mean, again, these are super expensive, but like you get why they're expensive because they were just that nice.
And hopefully they'll last a long time too. I mean, you would hope.
Oh, yeah. And I've got them back in their box. And after I aired them out and let them dry, I tucked them away back in the box because with nice stuff, you take care of it, you know? So it's not like very regular.
Not throwing them in the heap of bell boots.
Yeah, exactly. I have a bucket of boots.
We all have.
It's exactly. I have a bucket of boots. These don't go in the bucket. Okay. These are in the box. Chad's like, can I throw these boxes? Well, I'm like, get your hands off those boxes. But yeah, they're like, I mean, probably $330 for the front ones with the fleece and the back ones were $300. And so you're looking at $620. And again, they're really nice. Like you pay to play, you know what I mean? Like
quite a bit of jumping, I would think. You know, if you're a serious jumper, this would definitely be worth it.
And totally worth it because they didn't move and they're so, like, I mean, they're just perfectly designed for a horse's leg, like the shape of them. And to have these little vents in the front where the air goes through and then the back is the air goes through and the strike plates are the carbon fiber. They were really, really nice. And again, I mean, come on, guys, we're marching towards death.
We'll put a link in the show notes, the Veritas Carbon boots. They have several different kinds, as you mentioned. So I'll put a link to a couple of the different kinds in the show notes. But That's great. Well, thank you, Jamie, for doing that. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for letting me have them. My gosh. Thanks, Stateline Tech. Y'all are amazing. This is such a cool thing. And I've listened to everybody else's product review, and I've sat here quietly, not being jealous, and I finally got my own thing to test.
She's been whining about this for 15 years, actually.
I have not.
Close to it. Close to it.
14.
All right. We're going to be right back with some really bad ads.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And they submit them from Craigslist or Facebook and usually from the farm and garden section. And we have prizes that are there every month. And unfortunately, I don't have the prizes yet. I'm waiting for them. So
we'll announce those. We gave them away last week. Sometimes it takes a minute.
Yeah, and we'll get to them in 2 weeks when we're back with some really bad ads. So we had a bunch of people who submitted that we won't get to this week. Who is that, Jamie?
Okay, that is Faye, Susan, Amanda, and Kai. You guys are all in the running. And Amy sent this one. And remember, when you send it yourself, you get double the entries. But if you send it yourself and you use an accent that is not your own, you get triple the entries. So let's see what Amy did.
This is Amy, and I am reading a post from Upstate New York, Everything Horses and Goats. I envy your kids and my kids for being able to ride this pony because she checks all my big kid wants for a horse I want to ride myself. You know, the one that you can have a few too many high noons and ride around tackless in the pasture, keeps you from falling off so it doesn't take 5 business days, a chiropractor, and a prayer to feel normal again. That's her, but in a itty-bitty pony body. Perfect for accident-prone kids that you're afraid will turn into a flying squirrel off the back of a pony. Strawberry is almost too good to be
Strawberry.
True. She's pretty friendly and quiet for the little ones. One of our ponies in our Amish pony aftercare program. She's a really good example of the quality you can find that you shouldn't overlook Amish ponies. Okay, jumping off my soapbox and back to the pony. Strawberry was broke out by kids and molded into a wonderful little pony with a bright future. At just 4 years old, she is broke to ride and drive. Strawberry is 38 inches tall with some good stature to her. She's thick enough to last the kiddos a while, and when she's outgrown, she can be driven by the family. Under saddle, Strawberry is more whoa than go, but she can bop around at a trot also when asked. I like that you can drop the reins and let your little rider think they're doing it themselves, but really, she's just looking to you for direction. No dirty bolt, rear, bucks, or saying, screw off, I'm done. She's also rides independently for your pony crazy kid that wants to ride with you. I think she would look darling in a show. Strawberry will go out alone and is not buddy sour. She is easy to lead with small kids around her all over the farm. In the barn, Strawberry is easy to handle and stands to be groomed and tacked, bridled. She will pick up all her feet and stand quietly for aspiring little farriers to learn how to pick hooves. Strawberry is barefoot, sound, and no founder history. She does not need any special upkeep or maintenance. Currently, she lives around ducks, chickens, dogs, kids, dirt bikes, cats, etc. with no issues. She often enjoys watching the happenings around the farm. Strawberry lives out with a herd and geldings of mares and lives with a normal-sized horses as well as ponies. She is not marish and is easy to catch. Strawberry is a fancy little lady who is sure to make some kiddos' dreams come true. Or adult. Adults who aspire to have a pony army are my people. Pony power, baby. Holtwood, PA. No holds, trades, trials, leases, or deposits. Gladly to help truck anywhere, just ask. We'll gladly FaceTime you with her in hand. please send PM, call, or text to inquire. Please do not ask questions and comments or say PM me. This ad is cross-posted and I don't every notification. Give me a shout. Let's talk ponies. $3,500.
Strawberry's 10 hands, in case you missed that. This is a 10-hand pony.
It's like a mini, basically.
By the way, we could have played a drinking game with the name Strawberry, because they said Strawberry about 85 times in that ad. That was funny.
I do think that, too, like, in the time they said she can, you know, kids can ride her, and she can walk, and she can trot. Can she not canter?
Little ponies don't. I mean, I don't know. But this, weren't you waiting for the butt? I was waiting for the butt. The butt never came. But
there's no butt.
There was no butt in that one. Well, thank you, Amy.
$3,500, so there's that.
Yeah, for a 10-hand pony, she better not have a butt. Thanks, Amy. All right, Carrie sent this one in. Are you doing that one? You're doing that one. Yeah, Carrie, that is yours.
Okay. Gary sent this one in again, Facebook page for everything. You're going to hear a lot of different ones. Quality horses. And again, remember, I don't look at these beforehand, so I'm just going to do it as I see it. Oh, God. I noticed there's something missing. Punctuation. Quality horses, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, Facebook page. Tattooed TBUFD, she needs sork. Can ride but throw tantrums. Just don't wanna listen. Will make great deal just to move. Have other broke horses. Don't need her crap. Clinton, North Carolina.
I don't know what that ad said, but apparently this is a bad pony. I don't even know if it's a horse or what it is.
I don't know. I don't know what UFD and sork means, but whatever. Again, one of the ads that breeds more questions than answers.
Yeah, punctuation and spelling are important in life. Ashley sent this one in. Texas horse swapping.
That sounds very Texas.
ISO, the raunchiest, nastiest, has no good habits in them type of horses. My baby daddy, a.k.a. my rider, done pissed me off. So let me see what you got. Closer to ETX, the better.
Okay.
What the hell does a baby daddy have to do with anything?
I don't know.
But then describe the picture.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a rider who's riding a horse that is mid-falling down. And, like, there's dirt kicked up everywhere, and the horse is hitting the dirt. Ugh!
I don't know what that means. I don't know where the baby daddy came in. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know.
More questions than answers. Brooke sent this one in. Oh, it's a long one. Dave's a donkey. Dave the donkey is searching for someone to be the he to his haw.
This is so AI.
Oh, is it? Okay.
This has to be.
This incredibly tiny, 31 inches to be exact, little dude has got to be so sweet he'll put a puppy to shame. Dave is 3 years old and will stay being a little squirt. He screams therapy donkey in every way. Dave is gentle, slow, he isn't into cardio, kid approved, bubbly, and of course, .. handsome. My kids adore Dave, and the feeling is mutual. Dave has been well taken care of and has great feet that he gladly picks up for you.
The kids adore him, but I'm selling him anyway.
Get rid of Dave the donkey. He's easy to catch because he typically is quite literally always there, eavesdropping into every conversation within a 10-mile radius with those ears. A silent... Why would you put this in an ad? A silent fart can't get past him. Don't worry, your husband can't say he's a freeloader because Dave will take small kids for rides. I'm not saying you'll win any blues, but he'll make everyone smile. You could even make him into a beer burrow spelled incorrectly, for all your backyard parties. There, I gave you some ammo to help you plead your case. He ties and ties, even when he isn't tied, because again, less is more for Dave.
He's my kind of donkey.
Dave enjoys being groomed and kissed on his super cute snoot. We give him a lot of snoot boops for our own serotonin boost. Dave will make a good addition to literally anywhere. If you want to smile, he'll do the trick. Bad day, Dave will brighten it up. Want someone for the kiddos to love on and learn how to groom? Dave is your man. A good listener? He loves gossip. Seriously, I know someone will adore Dave the donkey as much as I do, and I'm so grateful he fell into our lap. Yet, I want to sell him? Get Dave the hell out of here.
Look at the picture down below. He is so cute.
Oh, Dave the donkey is really cute.
I want Dave the donkey. There was no price. I'm imagining because there was no price, it's like $10,000 for Dave the donkey. But her kids look to be having a blast with Dave the donkey. Oh, those poor kids are going to cry their eyes out when she sells Dave the donkey.
Oh, my God. What a heartless bitch.
Look at the ears. His ears are bigger than his head. He's cute, though. I'm going to give him credit. Dave the donkey is cute. I want Dave the donkey. Where is this at again? Pennsylvania. That's a little far to drive for a donkey. Jolene sent this one in.
You talked yourself right out of that one. Oh, it does have a price on it. $2,000. Dave the donkey is basically free.
That's a good price for Dave the donkey, actually. He has no vices at all. We have a theme today. I was waiting for the butt, and it never came. Let's see about this one. Jolene sent this one in. I have a gelding available. Needy. Oh.
Nope, you're not giving it to me.
Damn it. I have a gelding available, need gone ASAP due to finding a new address. Please PM if interested. He's 6 years old, riddable for intermediate, not beginners. Could be for beginners if ridden constantly. Only reason I say that is he used to buck if I made him actually work and not walk because he had an attitude, but there lately hasn't been buck at all, and that's why I say not for beginners. What? He hasn't bucked at all. Can be spooky. He's a good horse, just needs someone who can spend more time one-on-one. So basically, this is a naughty, naughty paint.
I would like to point out, do you remember the DNA, the like color testing thing that I did?
Yes,
and
yes.
There was one particular color of every horse. I had people submit the best horse and the worst horse and the color of that horse. And by far and away, there was one that was off the charts naughty.
It was black and
what
white,
color was it?
Black and white.
Black and white paint. Pinto.
That's what this one is, too.
What color is this one? Black and white Pinto. You know what? He hadn't bucked recently, but he will buck you off.
Oh, he spooks, too. Let's not forget
that. And he's
spooking. Yeah, he's bucking and spooking. Pretty much your trail ride is doomed.
No price listed, so he's basically free. Horse float project comes in from Tamara, and Tamara sends in a horse float project, and that is accurate because it's like a, is this a one horse?
Yeah, I got two very skinny ones.
It's let's go with one horse. Horse float project. Lights work. Okay, so it's a one horse rounded front trailer and the floor looks to be really good. How do I know that? Because there's no sides.
Yeah, there's no sides at all. We're back.
We're back. Nothing.
Nothing.
I don't know what you're going to do with this thing, but it is definitely a float project.
It does have air in the wheels and it even has a spare tire, which is unusual. You could haul your lawnmower. It probably wouldn't fall off.
Now, unfortunately, the jack is on cinder blocks, so yeah, you're kind of on your own there.
It is $1,200 Australian, which probably means $2,500 US, and that's way overpriced.
Way overpriced.
You know, if it had some sides, it might be worth $800, but...
Or a back.
Or a back,
I don't know.
The back's kind of important, too.
It's a skeleton. But the front looks good.
Racina sent this one in. Here's a bad ad from my area in Canada. Oh, finally, Canada's getting involved. This is Dixie. She is a 5-year-old Dutch harness mare. She's more go than woe. She's easy to saddle up or ride bareback. Good for farrier and good to load for trailer, too. She doesn't bite or kick. She also is in foul bred with a standard. She's foul bred with a standard. a messy breeding, I guess. She's a great horse. However, we have too many. LOL. We have 3 yearlings that we are working with. You know what? There's punctuation in this one, but it's not easy to read.
It's just TMI. Like, that's unnecessary
yeah, I don't
information.
Even know about your yearlings. That will also be going up for sale once broke and 2 geldings.
What?
She is more suited for an experienced rider that is comfortable. Does the rider have to be comfortable, or is she?
I don't know.
She's a pretty girl. She's a pretty big girl. Price and comments will also trade for young QH that does barrels.
Whoa. You need to get rid of it because you have too many. Yeah, you'll trade it for another one. Yes. Okay, that screams lies.
Yeah.
All lies. All lies.
This is a real bad pony right here.
Oh, Beth sent the next one in, and do you notice about this photo?
Well, it screams, this whole thing screams scam to me. Just screams scam.
Yeah, this is an AI photo of a Frisian doing the most beautiful elevated trot, but there's just something wrong with his body, which is typically an AI photo. Thanks, Beth. Meet Leo, a nice 8-year-old black quarter Friesian cross stud. One hand, Rain loves to dance, and he dances as well. Supper, sweet love scratches and attention. He a well-behaved gentleman, knows his manners won't buck you or throw you off. He's a great confirmation and respect. When you are riding him, located in Ellicott, Colorado, I can send some videos over of him dancing. So for those who are educated horse people, typically when horses dance, they're jigging they're super
it's
stressed.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, this is definitely scam written all over it, especially the picture of the purebred Frisian that does not look at anything like a quarter horse Frisian cross stud.
What is a cross stud?
and he's only one hand. It said one hand. Rain
one
loves.
Hand. Oh, I would like a one-hand horse. How fun would that be to have this teeny tiny little horse?
I know, he'd hang out in the house with you. That'd be fun.
Yeah, he'd be on my desk right now, like taking a nap. Hi, little Rain, little one-hand Frisian cross stud. Oh, I love you. You're so good.
Michelle sent this one in from New England Tack and Equine. It's a saddle. This is extremely valuable handmade saddle and bridle from Morocco. It is a one-of-a-kind made for a family in Spain to America. Impossible to find another one in the world. Health reasons for the sale. The saddle's unhealthy or you're unhealthy? I don't know. Reasonable offer excerpted. That's what it says. Reasonable offer excerpted.
Excerpted.
I don't even know how to describe the saddle.
Well, I feel like maybe they should have said what it is and why it is extremely valuable.
Well, it's handmade, like, and it's from Morocco.
It's made one of a kind for a family in Spain to America. Duh. Obviously, that's why it's special.
This saddle, it has the really, really high cantle in the back and the really, really high, whatever that's called, in the front.
Pommel.
The pommel. It looks like a circus saddle.
It's a tapestry.
It kind of looks like a tapestry and a circus saddle. It kind of just reminds me of a circus saddle. You're not going to fall out of this one.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You're not going to get bucked off. No. You will be sticking it. You'll be fine. Lindsay sent this one in. What? From the Pacific Northwest Equine Facebook page. And it is a photo of a horse that is snubbed to a gate, which, people, do not tie your horses to gates. It's an aluminum gate and they have the horse tied to it. Number one problem. Number two is it looks like they just bathed him. So he's soaking wet, tied to a gate. Here's the ad. Well-trained gelding needs finishing for canter. 80-year unable. Needs hours.
80-year unable? He's 80 years old?
What?
He's unable? I don't know. Or is the owner 80 years old and unable? I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
You know, we complain about AI ads, but some of these people really need to put it in AI and let them fix it.
Hey, write an ad about this horse for sale. Thank you. Oh, it needs $3,500, man.
You know what we're going to do? We have one more I'll get to. But you know what I'm going to do next time in 2 weeks when we come back? I was trying to remember this. I'm going to write it down. We have a lot of things written down. So I'm going to try and remember it. I'm going to find a positive about every ad next time. I'm going to do it. I am going to take that as a challenge to find it.
So
I would have had a tough time today.
Practice on this one. What was redeemable and positive about that ad?
The horse is kind of cute. And it looks like he's not skinny. It looks like his feet are normal. The horse looks fine. The ad sucks, but the horse looks not fine.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, he's cute, isn't he? I mean, he's kind of cute. And he's, you know.
All right, hold on. If you want to find something positive, tell me something positive about the horse float project.
The tires have air, and we very rarely have trailer tires that have air in this show.
What I like about the horse float project is the fact that you can see all the way through it, right? So they've got a picture on the left side and you can see all the way through to the right side. And there's a golf cart in the background. And I think that golf cart looks really nice.
It's from about the 1950s, that golf cart, I think.
It's been there a minute. Okay, read the last one because, I mean, there's so many redeeming things about this one.
Katie sent this one in along with... Dudo?
We don't have her first name.
Tegan. Oh, yeah. And Tegan. A lot of people sent this one in, apparently. 17.2 hand Friesian / Lipizzan cross. Extensively trained in roping, dressage, tap, ballet, and jazz. Qualified for the 2024 Olympics, but missed them because we flew Spirit. Okay, sorry. No buck, no bolt, no shirt, no shoes, no problem. Sired by Secretariat's freshman roommate. Suitable for beginners with good insurance. No tire kickers or low ballers. I know what I've got. Care to describe it, Jamie?
Well, this Friesian Lipizzan cross that qualified for the Olympics is a mini donkey, black and white, with a Western saddle on it that is covering from about mid-neck to tail.
You know that saddle person we had on that said saddles could be too long? This is the definition of that.
Yeah,
right,
this
here.
Is that song. This is that saddle.
It is a cute, stinking little donkey, though. And now I like the ad better because they were being so sarcastic. I like it better. That's cute.
Now you got to read it like, I know what I got.
Thank you, everybody. And the redeeming quality about this one is the donkey is stinking cute. I would put that in my field.
It's adorable.
And there's no buck, no bolt, no shirt, no shoes. I don't know what the no shirt, no shoes.
I would like this little donkey to be one hand tall so I can keep it on my desk.
How many of those could we sell if we invented that? We could sell millions of those. We'd be rich.
I would have them all over the yard. The little army of mini donkeys.
We'd have them all over the house. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
You could put little diapers on them. That'd be great. Teach him. You could probably teach him to, you know, like a cat to go in a litter box.
Oh, so cute.
If we could teach him to do that, we would sell millions of those.
We would.
Between the calendars.
Big idea day.
The new calendars and the new breeding we're going to do for, what would you call those? They're not even tiny or mini. What would you call those?
It's called early retirement is what they're called.
Between all three, we're going to be golden. We got it.
We're golden.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for sending ads in. We really appreciate it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, but keep your ads coming in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And Jamie's getting ready to head out, meet her new girl, and I am going and head out for vacation. And so I do have a short good news story for you to end the week. A Michigan police officer named Jonathan Cox was driving around on patrol when he saw Dory Oliver pushing a lawnmower. Now, Dory's pretty old. Pushing a lawnmower with one hand and balancing on her walker with the other. And he decided that he was going to help her out. So he came back after his 12-hour shift and spent 2 days cutting the grass, cleaning the gutters, and cutting the bushes and improving her yard. He just volunteered to do it because he saw her out there pushing the lawnmower with one hand and the walker in the other. So there's good people out there. And good for him. Good for Jonathan Cox. Well done. Well done,
Way
Jonathan.
To go.
All right. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, but we'll have some, as I said, we're going to have some shows for you next week that are brand new. So look for those. You have a fantastic vacation.
Thanks.
Where you end up.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows?
I'll look
Can
for
be
pictures.
Exciting. Down to the minute.
See everybody.
Spay, neuter, geld.